Morning. My name's James, I'm a member here. If you're visiting for the first time, I want to apologise because I'm probably the worst preacher here. But probably the best looking preacher. Right. We're going to continue the series about hot topics and debates. I love a debate, I do. So where Simon said last week, we won't come over fisticuffs or anything, and everyone's welcome to their own opinion, and it's true what he said. If someone wants to debate what I'm saying, please feel free at the end. When Dave said to me we was going to do this little series, he says, what do you want to preach on? And I thought, there's no way I'm doing this one. And there's no way I'm doing creation, what Simon done last week, even though I come away from it and I wanted some of them pink biscuits he kept on showing on his slides. So I went away, and what I wanted to do, because it was on about doing suffering, creation, this one speaking out or remain quiet, or it was revelations on end times. And I thought, yeah, we haven't heard a lot of revelations end times. I think I'd like to go with that one. So I had a look at Daniel, and Daniel from chapter 7 onwards is all about prophecy. So I thought, yep, I'll go with that. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do, man. That's what I want to do. So I thought I'd read Daniel from 1 just to get a quick recap. And I read through it, and the Lord told me all the way through, no, I don't want you doing that. I want you doing this. So it's what God wants for us at the end of the day. So what I'm going to do, we're going to play a video. Instead of me reading 28 verses of scripture and probably sending half of you to sleep, what we're going to do is play a video for about, something on for 3.5 minutes. It's the story of Daniel chapter 6. Now, if you listen to a podcast on this, we're not going to play the video, but if you have a look in your church Bibles, it's page 861. I'll give you a quick recap first. So who is this man Daniel? Daniel was a prophet. You can read about him in the Old Testament. He was a prophet in Babylon. As a boy, he was amongst the first exiles taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. And he served God during a 70-year captivity. So he's about 80 now. In Babylon, Daniel was like Joseph. He had been in Egypt. He interpreted the king's dreams. And he was promoted to the highest rank. So we'll just watch this video, and it'll give you a better understanding. And then we'll talk about it in chunks. Right, so play that video down, please. It's good because that's very situational. I wouldn't be doing a video all the time when I preach at the beginning. It's best to use God's word, but it's good because we've been brought up listening to stories like this all our lives. So it's good to paint a different picture with it. What I'm going to be talking about is verses 1-12 of Daniel chapter 6, but I will speed up the end so we can just wrap up the story so you know what happens, as you can see there. And that is about 98% probably accurate. It's because it's a children, it's been PG, it's been toned down a bit, but we'll cover that later on. So first we're going to look at Daniel verses 1-5. So we see here in the first 5 verses, Daniel had one of the top jobs in Babylon, and there was something special about him compared to the other men around him at work. You see, he had the spirit of God in him, which was enabled him to work in all these extraordinary situations and all the difficulties he would have to face and overcome day by day. He conducted himself in a godly way in Babylon, and therefore he drew the attention of most of the kings in his life he worked for, and he got the top jobs. They trusted him as he was a good Babylonian and respected him, and Daniel was completely loyal to his adopted country and served the king well. But as you can see in the video here, he was hated, especially by his peers and fellow administrators. And this hatred was so determined that he was bent on his destruction. There was no reason to hate this man or to persecute him, probably because they were all corrupt and he was a Christian in a foreign land and he was just doing his job well for not being corrupt. Plus all around him, they were pagan gods, but Daniel had a good testimony. Sometimes this can happen to us at work because people know you're a Christian and take advantage of it. And how do we react? And how is our testimonies today, brothers and sisters at work? And do we shine the light in our work environment like Daniel did in these times? I don't know about you, but have you had an encounter with people at work or friends and they said, I didn't know you was a Christian. Well, this can be a bad situation. It can be like, I thought, oh, sorry, I got a bit through there. Yes, sometimes people think, oh, no, I didn't know you was a Christian. That can be bad. Or can it be good? And like, oh, I knew there was something different about you. I never would have guessed you was a Christian, or the way you went on. So I've had experience in both situations like this. But thank God, as we grow in God, people now remember, go, yeah, I thought there was something different about you. And how do we conduct ourselves socializing? If we go to family engagements, work engagements, how do we get on? How do we conduct ourselves? I remember years ago when I was 19, I used to work unloading lorries. It was only for about 6 weeks. And you unload these lorries and they come in. And I said to the guy, you've got to be in twos to unload the lorries. And I said to the guy, I need help unloading this lorry. What should I do now? He said, well, just take Jesus with you. I thought, is he having a laugh or something? Do you know what I mean? And I said, well, who's Jesus? And he pointed to one guy over the back. He was cleaning up. He said, take him with you. And everyone used to make fun of him because he was a Christian, but I didn't know that. And I can't remember if I said, if I'm being honest with you, oh, I'm a Christian as well. But more than likely, I just was quiet. And I just got on with it. And it's a shame how they looked at him. It's sad, really, because at the end, I bet they wish they had Jesus in the end. And do people see difference in us, in our work environment? I was recently working, I do landscape gardening. I was cutting some conifer edges on the Chertsey Road. And this guy pulled up in his car and he got out. And he said to me, I want a quote. I've seen you working here for the last few days. You do a great job, blah, 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 blah. And can you come and give me a quote? I said, yeah, yeah. And this person could talk. He could really help me as well. He said, I was in the army. I was a colonel in the army. I said, all right, yes. And he didn't look a hard man. He just said he was a colonel. Do you know what I mean? And I said, okay, then. I said, thought to keep the conversation going. He said, I know a colonel in the army. And he went, who's that then? And I said, Mike Gilson. Oh, I know Mike and Nicola. And he said, how do you know them? I said, from the church in Manningate. He went, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, yeah, they're lovely people, but they always go around like there's not a problem in the world, going, yes, everything's fine, everything's great. But what a testimony Mike and Nicholas got. They saw it in the work environment. I asked Mike's permission for that, by the way, because he said, you're not going to say anything bad about me. So, verse 6 to 9 in Daniel. So we see here all these men went as a group to see the king, and they had a plan in mind. They started praising him in such a way that they said anyone who prays to any other god would be put to death. And they knew he would like this, and they did not want to get blood on their hands. So the king thought it would be a good idea, probably to feed his ego, so he put it in writing so it couldn't be changed. These people really hated Daniel, and we see this in the Old Testament and the New. A lot when people hate you, they really want you dead in these times. Like Cain and Abel with a brother, Joseph, his brother's meant to kill him, prophets stoned to death, even Jesus. So when you can see, when hatred was in these days, they wanted to do you in. But these people could find no wrong in Daniel whatsoever, and he knew he was a godly person, so they tried to use law against him. But I don't know about you, but sometimes people are trying to find a little clink in our armour and say, oh, I thought you was a Christian, and Christians don't do this. It's happened so many times. People can be out robbing, stealing, doing drugs, lying. But if you, Christian, wait in your car for 5 minutes, never put a car park ticket on, and someone saw you do this, then bang, they're quick to have a go at you. And sometimes you can be ambushed. Has anyone ever been ambushed for being a Christian, trying to catch you out? So I'm going to tell you a story about a family member recently saw, and went over to visit, and he said to me, do you want to have a ride to the town? I said, yeah, I'll have a ride to the town with you. So got in the car and was riding, just talking in general about holidays. And he just recently come back from Europe. And I said, how do you find driving on the opposite side of the road? And he went, not a problem. Like, he was cool as a cucumber, not a problem. And he said, how did you find driving on the other side of the road? And I said, an absolutely nightmare. I would sooner preach than drive on the opposite side of the road in Europe. We was in Mallorca quite a few years back, family holiday, and Natalie was sick of getting on the buses all the time. She said, you must hire a car. So, because we wanted to go to one side of the island to the other. So I said, okay then, we'll hire a car. So I went to hire a car, got the car. The guy in there must have knew I was a bit nervous because he gave me an upgrade to a bigger car. Got in the car, got out the car park, got to say like the top of Manigate Lane, went all up the curb, and then somewhere in the curbs is about as high as this, nearly about as high as about a foot, the curbs out, and I went all up the side of the curb. I managed to get to Palma. I went to park the car, nearly hit a pedestrian in Spain. The guy was looking around like that, probably think English. And on the way back, I was hogging the line. I nearly got hit by a lorry. By the way, if you want to get your kids to be quiet, and mine are really noisy, drive on the opposite side of the road. They never said a word. So I finally got back to the hotel. I got the, give the keys into the reception, because he said drop the keys in reception, we'll come and pick it up. I got out, I've got to move the pulpit to give a little bit of illustration here. So I got out, I look at the tyre, and I thought, oh, that don't look like that very good. Where it was alloy wheels, it was scuffed all the way along there. Me being a big, good Christian I am, got a load of mud off the side with my foot, rubbed it like that, and just went, there you go. They never know. And they didn't. Now I told this story to my family member, and straight away he said, I thought you was a Christian. Straight away he had me, and he was right. He was right. He had a go at me straight away, and he was right. Sometimes we have to be careful in what we say around non-Christians, because they're quick to have a go. It's, you know, and in one way, it will remember me now. If I ever tell a story, I'll tell it again. I just won't mention the tyre. And so we're back to the story. And what are these men trying to get Daniel done for? They're trying to get him done for worshipping God because of his beliefs. So it says in Daniel verse 10 to 11, Daniel knew that he was being watched. He knew about the law had been passed, but he continued his faith. And he went home to pray 3 times a day and carry on worshipping God. You see, Daniel was not ashamed of God and he hid from no one. Daniel knew in the long run it was better to a man than upset God. I think of the scripture, Galatians 4, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? So that was Paul writing letters, because he was just telling them the truth. So why did Daniel leave his windows open? Wouldn't it have just been easier to close them so no one could see? But what a statement of faith. He didn't leave his windows open and started singing a line from The Greatest Showman, This Is Me. He done it in a dignified way and let everyone know as he asked God for help in this situation. And he prayed 3 times a day. This was his custom. This is what Daniel does all the time. But do we do this? I'd be honest with you. Do I pray 3 times a day? No, I don't. And when you think, sometimes I have a prayer block. Don't know if any of you get on here. You just don't know what to pray about. There's plenty of things to pray about. Not just in prayer meetings, because we're led, but how do we pray? We can look in John 17. It's in all the chapter of the Gospel of John. It said in the first part, Jesus prayed for himself. We should pray for ourselves. Second part, it said Jesus prayed for his disciples. We should pray for our family, for our brothers and sisters. The third part was Jesus prayed for believers. So we should pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. But do we trust God to get us out of situations? And do we pray 3 times a day for God to move in our lives? And how do you find it difficult? And what can we pray for, maybe? I work for a lady called Annie who lives in Camberley. She's a lovely lady. I worked for many years. And she's one of the nicest ladies you've ever met. And she recommends me to everybody she comes in contact with. And she recommended me to one customer. And her name was Jill. So I met Jill. And I think, you know, when I had a break, we got chatting. And I found out she was a Christian. And we was just exchanging, like, you know, you go West Point, they go New Harvest or New Wine or something like that they go to. And I was saying, oh yeah, Annie's a lovely person. And she went, yeah, she is. She's on my five a day, on my top five. And I thought, well, what's your top five? And it's the five people she constantly prays for to get saved. And I thought that was good. That was good. She prayed for you. She got a top five. Have we got like a top five people or things we can pray for? So I'll just leave that with you. And how would we react if it was us today back in the room? I'd probably close the windows, I would. I'd definitely close the windows. And I'd open the pulpit like this and start praying. Not with the window out so everyone could see. And do we get accused of our faith today? Do we sometimes, in this day and age, hide the fact that we're Christians? Daniel didn't. So we don't offend anybody at work or socializing or our neighbors. I've got down written down here, this Facebook story. If you're gonna post your favorite Christian song up or your favorite scripture and you're gonna post it up on your Facebook wall, do you post it to your Jubilee Facebook church page where everyone's going to give you likes and comments? Yes, that spoke to me, brother and sister. Yes, that's great words or songs. Or are you going to post it on your proper wall where you're going to let your non-Christian friends see? I've had this recently, and I had the phone. It was like, left, right, which one should I go for? I'll just leave that with you. And do we keep our Christian music down so the neighbours might hear it? I'm going to read this one scripture. If you take any scripture today, this is the one. And this has stuck with me a lot. It's in Matthew 10, verse 32 for 33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So I'll read that again. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me, I would disown before my Father in it. We need to speak out, just like Daniel did. Don't be ashamed. And Daniel was happy to let everybody know he was a Christian, and he was proud to do so. But do we as a church tell any of our family members or friends? Or don't we, so we don't offend them? If you love them, tell them the gospel. Tell them the love of Jesus. I know a lot of us have told our partners and our family members, and they haven't responded. That's all God's timing, just got to keep praying for them. So how do we approach our family members? Do we go in like a bull or in a china shop, or do we a little bit more grace? That's for you to all decide. I remember 30 years ago, my dad and a friend of his went to see his brother to tell him the gospel and invite him to a Christian conference. And this man, my uncle Jimmy, was dead set against Christianity. And he was set in his ways, totally against Christianity, even mocking my dad for a while, even got the kids mocking him as well. They'd become a Christian, and they're not saying anything about it. But after a while, my dad convinced him and his friend, mutual friend, to come and have a look. Invited him to the conference, and he agreed. So this is a minor miracle just for that. But no more than 10 minutes later, as we was leaving, some brothers we knew, who was at the same conference, was going door to door, like Jehovah's Witnesses. And my Uncle Jim had a way from here to the, I would say, to the main entrance, to the main doors of the church, to the building. So the minibus pulled up outside, and they come flocking out to go to do the street. And one of the brothers started preaching the gospel. I like to call it the fire and brimstone effect. Repent now or you're going to hell. Today is the day of salvation. Now this brother wasn't saying any lies, And he was doing what he thought right. But he didn't assess the situation beforehand. And in some cases, this works for some people. This is how I heard the gospel. And this is how I needed to hear it, personally. But for my uncle, this was not what you need to hear. But he did not attend the conference that time. And all my dad's work and his friend's work had gone. So brothers and sisters, we've got to be careful now. We preach the gospel. But we must, I emphasize that, we must preach the gospel in some form. How you do this, you trust in the Holy Spirit to guide you, you pray, and this is what we're called for. We have to preach the gospel. And Daniel was showing his faith. And speak. So we'll speed it up a bit now. Going into Daniel 12 to 15. So, as we continue the story, as they found Daniel praying to God, they literally made the way to the king as fast as possible to tell him. They were probably thinking, "Great, we've got you now." And they said to the king, "You can't change your mind. You've got to go through with it now. It's the law. You've signed it." The king at this stage saw that he had been tricked, so he tried every effort to save him because he knew Daniel was loyal and trustworthy. So does people give false witness to us, or even give false witness, or asked us to give false witness in a work environment? Recently, in the spring, work wasn't going too well. I went to give a quote somewhere in Ashford. I think it was Ashford Common. I don't know if I should mention money or not. I'm still weighing up about it, but it was... Should I mention money, Dave, or not? Yes or no? Should? Yes? Okay, he's good. So the job was for £200. I walked around the garden. She said, "Want this, done that, want the other." And I said, "Yeah, no problem." And she said, "Right, when can you do it?" "As soon as possible," she said. So I said, "Okay, we can do it the following week." She went, "Okay, then great. Just one thing I want you to do." I said, "What's that?" "Well, my husband might be home that day till 11:30. I said, "Yes. I want you to tell him it was for £70. And I went, "No." I said, "I can't do that." It's hard enough being, you know, trying our best every day, but I'm not going to forcefully lie. So I said, "No." And I could deal with the money, I'll be honest with you. And I said to him, "No." I said, I won't lie. I said, "I can't do that." I said, "I'm a Christian." "Okay," she said, "tell him 80. Like it's going to make it better. I said, "No, I'm not going to do it." "Well, just tell him you got a good deal out on me then." I said, "Okay, I'll tell him that." So I walked away and it laid heavy on my spirit. It really did. I thought, part of me thinks, like, you know, should I do the work? And then another part of me saying, just walk away. And so I give it in God's hands. And I said, "God, this was a prayer to say, if you want me to have a job, please, Lord, let it be okay. If you don't want me to have this job, please, Lord, take it away from me. I don't want to know." And then it was on the Monday. I was due there on the Tuesday. And I had a text message saying through, "We've changed our mind now. Thank you for coming across. But my husband's just started to do the work himself." I thought, "Thank you, Lord. I didn't want to know that. Thank you, God." And then sometimes people exaggerate. I'm not going to exaggerate now. I will over-exaggerate and say it was a minute, but I think it was 30 seconds after I read that text message, another job rang in, and it was probably for the same, or if not more, money than that job. No more than 5 minutes after that phone call, another job rang in. And that was for even, I think more. So what God takes away, sometimes he can replace. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a reward system, like, you know, I do good, then good will happen to you. But God honors that. I do believe that God honors that. So verse 16 to 17. So the king, with a heavy heart, ordered Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. So let's just picture a picture of the lion's den. The lion's den was not like the lion's den what we saw on there. Yeah, I don't know if any of you have watched Game of Thrones. You shouldn't, but I do. And they were, remember the dog scene? They were not little tame animals. They probably wasn't even fed that much and probably starved. And so then when someone was thrown in, they'd be eaten in seconds. And just in a case where they were not hungry at the time and they were having a bit of a sickness bug and the lions didn't want to eat that day, they put a big stone over the top so there was no escape. So you was going to get eaten one way or another. And sometimes we can think that there's no escape, even at work. And it's hard at our jobs. And this is the reward we get. But we just got to keep pushing through. Go back to 1820. So when we see the king went back to his chambers, he did not eat. He had no entertainment. So it was no Chinese or Netflix that night. And he'd be kicking himself that he would have been done over and he would have been tricked. You see, he's probably heard all these stories, which I recommend you read from Daniel 1 to 6, before with the previous kings, and what great miracles and interpretations Daniel was involved of. And he could not sleep. I can relate to that. Sometimes you can be up all night worrying, wrestling with problems and can't sleep. I think we've all been there. So at first light, the king rushed down to see if Daniel was still alive. I wonder if he prayed that night to God. Because it doesn't say, not just for financial gain to keep his kingdom in order, because he knew Daniel wouldn't rob him, or maybe it was he knew what had happened to the previous kings. Or did he listen to Daniel? Maybe out of fear, maybe, or because he was his friend. So verse 21 to 23, so then the king standing behind a big pillar stone shouts out, "So Daniel, are you still alive in there?" Hopefully waiting for an answer, Daniel said, "Yes, I am here, king and Daniel. I am here." And Daniel said, "Angels came down and closed the mouths of the lion because they found me innocent of all charges. I have done no wrong to you, my king." The king was overjoyed to hear this news, and he ordered him out straight away, and he knew God was not going to be tested, so he probably forgot all about the laws of his people and that. So he thought. So verse 24 to 28, so the king commanded, he gathered all the men who accused Daniel and their wives and their children to be thrown into the lion's den. That was the PG bit, you see, they throw the lot in. And straight away they were all killed. But why did they do this? Why throw the wives and the children in as well? It's to stop retaliation in them days. So if their sons growed up, they might want revenge. So it'd just be better just to throw the lot. And so the story concludes that God saw that there was only one true God, just like in the stories in Daniel chapter 1 to 5. And he said there's only one true God, and that was the God of Daniel. And he continued to prosper. So, how do we respond to God's word this morning? I think if we're being honest, we all need to improve in this area. And I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward for prayer at the front. But I'd like it if we, not for me, but for God, to stand as a church and pray as a family of believers that we can go forth and be a shining light for Christians. Because Christ, for Christians, means Christ-like. So let's have faith, brothers and sisters, and let's trust in God, whether it's a work environment, neighbours, friends, family, preaching the gospel, but being a good testimony in this world today, and that we can shine the light.